Hey everyone, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of So NWA. I'm your host, Juan Carlos, and my brother here.
Hello everyone, Enrique here with So NWA. Juan Carlos, how are you doing today?
Brother, I'm doing good, man. We've had a really good time this week with some of our guests here as we continue to do this podcast. We continue to have some really awesome guests. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we have a great guest today. I'd love the honors to introduce him.
Oh, of course, of course, of course.
Okay. So we have a Shuber Mitchell, general manager here for the North Market. Everyone, please give a warm welcome to Johnny Templeton. How you doing, Johnny?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm glad to be here.
Yes, we're honored to have you. Thank you for
joining us. Yeah, no problem, man. It's exciting.
This is exciting. When I reached out originally to have you on, and it just made my heart happy to have you accept and spend some time with us to do this project, this passion project of mine. So, Johnny, thank you again. It's a privilege and an honor on my side. So, cool. Welcome, man. Yeah. How's everything? How's the weekend? It's Friday.
Oh, I'm so glad it's Friday, man. So glad.
Yeah,
man. Weekends are the best, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we love our jobs, hopefully, but it's always good to go in the weekend, have some rest and some downtime.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I feel like during the week, you get so caught up with doing so many things and
true.
When you finally have time to relax. I personally always take advantage of it. So,
yes. Oh, 100%, man.
100%. No, that's true. A little bit of my background, and this is just kind of random, but for a long time, I worked in hotel management, and I always had different days off during the week. It was just the demand of the hotel, right? Different needs of the hotel. So I never really understood the whole weekend, have Saturday and Sunday off. Well, now I work in a different field and I do have the weekends off. And I got to tell you, it's nice. So, you know, it is nice to have the weekends off for the most part. I know we do real estate and things like that, but to not go into 9 to 5. Yeah, no, having the weekends off is pretty good.
Man, it's great. It's great.
Well, Johnny, for our listeners, you know Juan Carlos.
Yeah.
Here on a more personal level.
That's right. Yeah. Right? And we've been friends for a couple of years now. Yeah.
My brother. There you go. Yeah. All I've heard so far from Juan Carlos are good things. So I've been very excited to sit down and meet you and get to know you throughout the conversation. So I'm hoping our listeners have that.
Did same he feeling. Tell you how we met?
He did not tell me.
Yeah.
No, not.
Can I tell that story? Is
yeah,
that okay?
Yeah. I love it.
So we were, and well, I know we'll probably get into stuff like this later, but my family and I were new to Northwest Arkansas. We had just lived here maybe a few weeks and we were really new and we were trying out some new restaurants and just really trying to assimilate into Northwest Arkansas. We didn't know anybody. Mm-hmm. And we were at Table Mesa and we were eating brunch one Sunday morning and Juan was our server. Mm-hmm. And so he asked me, yeah, he's talking to me and I'm like connecting with him because I'm pretty relational. Like I like to talk to people kind of guy. I tell him, yeah, I work for Shuber Mitchell. And he's like, hold on just a second. Hold on a second. And he runs over and he goes and gets Maritza, his wife. And she's the hostess that day at Table Mesa.
Okay, yep.
And he comes over and introduces me, tells I was the new sales manager at the time at Shuber Mitchell, and tells me we just bought a Shuber Mitchell home, and the process was so awesome. And Malachi was our new home specialist.
That's right.
And he's telling me all about it. And I'm like beaming. And I'm like, I'm the new sales manager and I'm hearing my team's awesome. This is great, you know. But then he and I just connected and we just kept kind of running into each other. And so finally, like after maybe the second or third time running each other down at the square, we exchanged phone numbers. And then honestly, for almost 2 years now, like Juan, Maritza, my wife, Arlie is her name, and I, we get together at least once a month for dinner. Like we've been doing that for a couple of years
there
now.
There you go.
And, just developed a good friendship. And I don't know why they want to hang out with us. We're old people compared to them.
No,
it was a really unique way of meeting people. And I think that makes Northwest Arkansas really special. There's transplants that feel alone. But when they have a friendly face and you can connect with someone, really special friendships can develop.
Right.
True.
What a cool story, man. I'm kind of happy I heard it now from your perspective.
Yeah.
Right. Because I think it's the same story, but I wonder his perspective is probably a little bit different. So hearing it from your vision, I think is so cool. That's a cool story.
You know, things like that are just so dear to me because it was my experience, Johnny's experience. And that was there like that. Really, it really went down like that. I remember that day and it was brunch and I'm giving my spiel for one of the best brunches in town.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Table Mesa's, in my opinion, I think Table Mesa has a great brunch, unlimited brunch that's really hard to beat. But just having that experience and just sharing what I experienced at Schubert Mitchell, like he was saying, he was a new sales manager. I was like, dude, I have nothing but good things to say. And that's awesome. We did connect, we did click. And I don't know, it's almost a similar story to how me and you met. You know, yes, we were on the team, mm-hmm. and we had very brief interactions. I mean, not even that many, like that open house, Francisco's little get together.
Yeah, it was a game night, I think.
Yeah,
at his house.
And then just certain things you said, certain things that you talked about. I was like, man, there's something about this kid, you know. So that's how, I guess, just some about people, right? That I don't say that I see, but it's just something about people that I like. I enjoy, and there's something like that, you know. But Johnny, thank you for saying that. That is true, and I'm really glad you got to share that, man. That's awesome. Yeah,
that's good, man. It's been awesome.
Thank you. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's a good story.
Yeah.
So, Johnny, one thing we like to do here in the beginning, just so we can kind of get to know our guests a little bit, our listeners get to know our guests a little bit, we like to kind of ask an open-ended question, if you will. So, question for you would be, what is the best concert or festival that you've ever been to?
And yeah, why? Man, that's funny. It doesn't exist anymore. And it's probably not music you guys know, but so I met my wife at a festival. Like, we didn't know each other before at all. But so she's from the Philadelphia area, like Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And I'm from Missouri, from the Joplin area. There's a festival that was in Bushnell, Illinois every year called the Cornerstone Festival. And it was a Christian music festival. And it was kind of like Woodstock for Christians. You like camped out for like 3 or 4
okay.
days. And so my friends and I went every year. We camped out. And one year we ended up camping next to these girls. And one of them ended up being my wife. Like, that's how we met. So I cannot say there's a better concert or festival than the one I met my wife at. You know what I mean? So it's called the Cornerstone Festival. And it was pretty incredible. There's about 30,000 people. There are cornfields all around. And I mean, it was hardcore and metal type music, maybe a little emo, you know, things like that.
So I looked it up here and it says their genre would be rock, metal, punk, pop, folk, all kinds of stuff. It even says hardcore here.
Yeah, so. Dude, we were hardcore kids, man. Now we're just old people.
Nah, I'll say that. When you say old, I'm thinking like 90 years old.
Oh,
like
my bad. Yeah, I'm not quite there yet.
No, yeah, man.
That, I don't consider people... That's what I consider old. That's just me, though.
Okay. Yeah.
That makes you feel old. I thought that way, too, but now I feel old, too, right? I'm old, man.
No, you're not.
Old. I say older. I say I'm old.
You're older, but you're not old.
But it's so far away. Enrique, how about you? What's one of the best concerts or festivals you've ever been to?
Well, I haven't been to many, but we have the Walmart Amp here. At the time I was in high school, maybe you've heard of him. At the time, my favorite artist was Travis Scott.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And he had a concert here. And I'm sure, if for the listeners who don't know, he ended up actually getting arrested after that concert.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
he got arrested because in the amp, there's the seats, the rows, and then you have the pit. Section. The pit seemed pretty empty for it being quote unquote sold out. And so he does a couple songs, and then I'm not going to repeat exactly what he said, but in essence, he said, "Oh, I'm going to invite you guys to come down here and join us in the pit." And I'm sitting there, and I went by myself, right? And I look to my right, and I see people just rushing down this aisle to get to the pit. And I'm like, man, I'm not going to stay here by myself. I'm gonna join them. So I'm rushing. And we get to the barricade. And it's maybe up to my chest. And everyone is trying to hop over this fence. Eventually, it's my turn. I go in there. And it's completely packed. You're like shoulder to shoulder. People in front of you. People behind you. And he played this song. It's called Mamacita. I don't know if you've heard that song before. By Travis Scott. It's an older one that he had. But everyone was jumping. It was crazy. And I was there by myself, but I felt like I had such a great time.
That's cute.
For me, that was the experience that I had. That's I thought just cool. Being able to rush the pit, even though I wasn't supposed to be there.
That's awesome.
That for me would be my experience. That was good for me.
I remember reading about that when he came and had his concert here and ultimately getting arrested at the end. I never really looked into it. I just remember, Travis Scott got arrested here in North Arkansas, got booked.
They considered it, he was like inciting a riot. That was the charge that he got.
I see.
Because I think a security guard actually ended up breaking his leg from like trying to stop people.
That's crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
That's so nuts.
I can see maybe why he got arrested.
Yeah.
But firsthand experience, man, I got that. Now I got that. Yeah, firsthand experience.
It was
I know somebody that was there in Lincoln. Yeah. He broke the security guard's leg.
Oh, I didn't do that. I know.
You got to make the story sound good.
Yeah, there you go.
He did it. He did it. I know the guy. Man,
that's funny. That's
what about cool. You, Juan Carlos? Anything to that nature or crazier?
One of my best concerts. Oh, gosh. I have to say there's two, but for different reasons.
Okay.
I'll go with the one because I actually, funny enough, I was both of them was with Maritza, my wife. I'm a huge Lenny Kravitz fan. If people don't know, I love Lenny Kravitz, and my wife's probably, when she hears, roll her eyes right now.
So does everybody else,
dude. I swear, I love his music. And I can find you. You can tell me what kind of song you want, like, and I'll find you one that is just spot on. But anyways, this is when I was living in California. He did a show at the Greek Theater in LA, and I had only heard some of his older music. I didn't really hear some of his newer music, and that's how the concert started. So to me, in that moment, I'm like, dude, I love this guy. Never heard this song before. It was outside. If you're familiar with the Greek Theater, it's kind of like the Amp in a way. And I was like, dude, this was amazing. So to me, that was like one of my best time. But then the other one was for Maritza and I, because this is one of our favorite artists is Ozuna, a reggaeton singer. Yeah, artist. And we went.
No.
Reggaeton, right? Remember?
Oh, yeah, reggaeton.
Yeah, I do.
Forgot about that. Yeah.
And he was playing at the Honda Center in Anaheim, and we just randomly bought tickets. I think we're like, oh, do you want to go? Or, oh, he's going to be there in 2 weeks. Let's get some tickets. We get there and he played all the bangers. You know, he was letting them rip, dude. And we were just having a great time. And I think as for me, the venue also makes it or breaks it, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. If the venue is not like a good venue, if it's hot, if the prices are I think any event like that, a sporting event, whatever, concert, the venue also adds to the experience. And the Honda Center in Anaheim was spot on.
Nice.
And so just overall, 10 out of 10. Lenny Kravitz, Greek Theater, 10 out of 10. Those are my two.
Every time I hear Lenny Kravitz, like Arlie now will be like, Juan Carlos is smiling somewhere. Every time I hear Lenny Kravitz,
man, he's smiling right now. He's so hard.
I love Lenny Kravitz, man, dude.
He had to explain to me what reggaeton was. I didn't know what that was till Juan. You know,
It's like the, and forgive me, listeners, if you don't agree, but I kind of view it as like the Hispanic rap, if you will. Mm-hmm. It's not really the same, but kind of to get an idea of how the music is.
Sure.
You know, more like dancing, more like informal, if you will.
Yeah.
He sends me text sometimes and it'll say, this is reggaeton. That's right. It'll be just like a meme or something or a song.
Oh, that's funny.
That is pretty funny. But guys, we're about to transition over to our next segment here of who is Johnny, right? Oh, you guys just heard us. I've known him for some time now, and Enrique has just met him here, right? But we'd love to always share their story and how they end up in this Northwest Arkansas area. But Johnny, take it away.
Yeah, dude. Man, that's a big question. Who are we, right? I'm originally from Webb City, Missouri is where I'm from. So that's a suburb of Joplin. It's a town of about 12,000 people. And then Joplin's bigger than that, probably 60,000 people or something. I don't know what the population is anymore. But so I lived there my whole life, you know, in Webb City. And I loved it. Big part of the community there. I've traveled a lot, been in a lot of places around the world, done mission work and things like that, just because I love that kind of thing. You know, Webb City has always been my home. Never lived anywhere else until we moved to Northwest Arkansas about 3 or 4 years ago now. So I graduated from Missouri Southern University. Loved that college. It was awesome to me. Went into the business world for a while, and then I always had a passion, like I said, for missions and things like that. So mm-hmm. I actually went into full-time ministry. I was in full-time ministry for about 8 to 10 years at a church in the Joplin area. It's called Carterville Christian Church. I hope it's okay I can say that. And I actually still am really involved there. I love it, man. They're an amazing church. It was awesome. It was great, and I loved it. I love my job there. I love meeting and connecting with people and helping them along on their journey. I mean, that's a big part of who I am is just connecting with people, hearing their story. And I want to be able to help people in a positive way, however I can, on the next leg of their journey, and hopefully be a positive influence, man.
That's cool that you were in ministry. How is that experience? Like, how do you even begin to get involved in something like that for somebody who maybe be interested to become a minister in a church?
Yeah, well, mine was very non-traditional. So I didn't go to Bible college. Like I said, I'm a Missouri Southern graduate, right? So my degree is in sociology with a minor in psychology. And I geek out on that stuff. I love sociology and psychology. So mine's very untraditional, but honestly, for me, I was just really involved in the church. Like I served wherever I could. I helped with youth group. I was on like the welcome team, like guest services, because I love people so much. And I just got involved wherever I could, wherever I thought my skill set could make an impact in people's lives. That's what I did. And it was noticed. And then when there was an opening for a position, they approached me. And it was a big transition for our family from the business world to the ministry life. But we did it, and I never would regret it at all. It taught me so much. You walk through life with people from their birth all the way to their death and everything in between. And that can get really heavy, and that can be really, really hard sometimes, but it's so worth it to walk with people on their journey. So, it's a heavy job. Shout out to all the pastors out there. I know what you're going through, but man, it's worth it. It's so worth it, to be that light in people's life.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. I don't know if you listened to our first episode where we touched a little bit on religion and spirituality.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And I think right now I'm kind of going through this journey with my faith. And so kind of getting the perspective of somebody who's on the other end, right? Helping people kind of go through this. I think that's kind of refreshing. And it makes me feel good about where I'm going, you know, cool, with my faith.
That's so awesome, man.
I'm glad that you shared that with us. Thank you.
Yeah, dude. Anytime, yeah.
So how did you end up here, Johnny?
Yeah, man, it was really cool. So like I said, pastor in the community, and I wasn't really looking for a job, I'll be honest with you. I loved what I did, but I developed this class, and with the help of other people, other pastors on the church, at the church, I wasn't even teaching the class. Actually, it was some mentors of mine. Her name's Stacy Spickerite and Damian Spickerite. They're amazing people. They taught me so much, and I don't think they mind that I said their name. So they were teaching a class on parenting, and I was just the facilitator of that, trying to get people sign up for it and stuff. We had over 100 people sign up for this class, and we didn't have space for it. Okay. It was on a Wednesday night. We didn't have space because we had such a big youth group and children's programming. So I started setting up, I knew some connections at Schubert Mitchell Homes in Joplin, Missouri. And they had a new home office. And so I had some connections there. And they said, man, you can use our lobby for that. We even have chairs. So it was a 4 or 5 week class. So every Wednesday night, about 5 o'clock, I'd go to Schubert Mitchell Homes. And someone there would help me clear out their lobby. And then we'd set up 100 chairs. And then we would have the class there at 6:30. And then I'd tear everything back down and put their lobby back together. Well, through that, I met some people at Schubert Mitchell. I met like quite a few people for 4 or 5 weeks. They'd be like, what are you doing here? Why are you doing this to our lobby? You know, it's like, well, Dan Mitchell told me I could. And I was like, man, this environment's really cool. And I wasn't looking for a job at all. And then a year later, an opportunity came up there, and it's just a good fit for me because I still feel like I can do pastoral stuff because we're a kingdom company, but also that business stuff that I used to love to do, I get to do that too. So that's how I ended up in Northwest Arkansas. That was a really long answer. I apologize. So I worked for Schubert Mitchell. I made the jump out of full-time ministry, worked for them in Joplin for about 8 months. And then Schubert Mitchell asked me to come here to be the sales manager. And so that's how I ended up in Northwest Arkansas. So that was a really long pastor answer. That's why I still can't turn it off sometimes. So,
No, that's good. That's good. You know, I think details, matter. And just knowing that information for our listeners, for us, it just builds that connection, because I think everything you just said, someone could resonate with, either if they're transitioning or if they're in a similar spot, then they, you know, find a new opportunity to share God's work, to do his work in another way. So that is amazing. So with Schubert Mitchell, now you came down to the Northwest Arkansas area. Prior to that opportunity, were you familiar with the area? Did you know the area?
Yeah,
What was the word?
We love Northwest Arkansas. So my wife she's an artist and an art teacher. And so for years, this was our destination spot. We would come on, even though we only lived an hour north, we came here for vacation because we love Northwest Arkansas so much. Uh-huh. The restaurants, the culture, the diversity, and the art, of course, Crystal Bridges, all of that stuff. So my wife, Arlie, she loved it. She wanted to be here for a long time, I think. and so we we jumped at the opportunity when the company said, would you move? And we came down here and we were very familiar with it actually. But it's still different to move here and live here. And we were actually living in the destination spot that we wanted to be. That was a destination of almost a vacation for us. But now we live here and that's, we still kind of pinch ourselves because it's growing around us more than we could ever imagine.
Oh, 100%.
And it's cool being a part of the community now.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like that's a really cool perspective for somebody who about 4 or 5 years now you've been living here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Calling it like a destination spot and that you're in disbelief living here. For me, I've been here since I was 8, 9 years old. So hearing that perspective, it kind of feels nice. You know, it kind of gives me that refresher. Mm-hmm. Like, man, I'm blessed to live in this area. I'm blessed to be able to experience the restaurants here and all the amenities.
100%, dude.
That's what this whole podcast was about. We enjoy getting those perspectives from others who either have moved here just recently or been here even 5, 10 years. Because I think just like you just said it again, you've been here since like what?
2008, 2009, call it.
Oh, okay. Like my family's been here since 95. Mm-hmm. And honestly, and just this is for our audience as well. Man, I'm trying to get people who've been here since like the 80s and 70s, 60s, 70s.
Can't imagine what they've seen.
Oh man, it's crazy. Would love to have them sit here and share what they have seen. And I'm working on it. I think I know some people that I could get in here. But I mean, exactly, telling the original stories. And this is an original story, in my opinion, you know, of what Johnny has experienced, what he's come down to do. That is an original story because as we fast forward 2 or 3 years down the line, this is going to be there. So I love it. You know, you talked about Schubert Mitchell and you said there's a kingdom company. What do you enjoy the most about them? That you get to work with them.
Yeah, man.
People, what is it?
Yeah, it always comes back to with people for me. I feel like Schubert Mitchell does a really good job of creating culture. And the culture is inviting and people want to be a part of that, right? And so our interview process is really, it's kind of lengthy. It takes a while. I think it was a 3 or 4 month process before I was even hired. They really want to make sure that not only they're interviewing you, but you're interviewing them as well. Mm-hmm. And that you understand the culture and you are really comfortable with it. You get a lot of exposure to a lot of things because culture is everything. And so Schubert Mitchell holds on to their core values and their culture so, so well. And honestly, in the process, you're like, man, this is taking forever. But now on the other side of that, working for them for 5 years, I appreciate how long that process was. Like once you're in and you have a position and you're working, you see that everything they said in the interview process is real. Like every day we want to honor God. We talk about that in the interview process. You know, that's the kind of environment that you're going to be working in. We want to honor God with our decisions. We're going to be transparent. And if we make mistakes, we're going to make it right because that's who we are, because people are important to us. We want to honor God and we want to enrich the lives of others. That's what we want to do, man. And not only our customers, but like with our employees, like internally, we are doing that too. Like have so many cool stories of people saying, I didn't know if this was real. And now that I do, it's amazing. Now I didn't go to church before. I didn't even know anything about Jesus. And now I'm on this journey of knowing who God is. And I've started going to church and all these things. And it's like, it's just so cool to see people's lives change through a company. I feel like that is my favorite thing about Schubert Mitchell because it's changed my life too. So,
wow. I have heard this story as, you know, we've, mm-hmm. you know, gone out and I love it. I can hear it over and over again because I see it. And every time you tell that story and tell those reasons, it's the same. It's that the passion is behind the eyes. You know, the passion is there and I just love it. I can see it in your face that is 100% true. Yeah.
Yeah, it's you can hear your passion behind what you're doing, you know. And I think coming from your background, right, you were in ministry and Schubert Mitchell kind of has a mixture of, you know, business and ministry. It kind of like both of your worlds kind of merged and it's kind of a perfect fit, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For lack of a better word. And you can hear how much you enjoy and how much it had a positive impact in your life.
Yeah, man, it's real. Like they seriously, we have so many stories of not just employees, but customers that have been influenced in great ways. And and we don't do that. We don't put that in marketing like that. We're not going to do that. This is just who we are. We just want to honor God with what we do. So
it's powerful.
I like that. Yep. Yeah. One of the questions I had for this podcast episode was, you know, what makes Schubert Mitchell different from other builders? And I think you've answered it in a certain way, but what makes you guys different than other builders in this area?
Yeah, and there's a ton of awesome builders here, man.
Yes.
Like, I would never throw shade at any of them. They're really good builders, good people. I've met so many awesome people in this industry. Talking about it earlier, that we call ourselves affordable luxury homes, you know what I mean? And I think that's what makes us stand out. Like, we're still affordable, but there's a certain measure of luxury as well that I think you would see in the quality of our homes. Mm-hmm. Certain finishes, things like that, that some builders at that price point may not do. I feel like we go to the extra mile with design and quality and just ensuring that wow factor when someone walks into the house. That's what we want. Mm. We want them to walk in to their new home when we're presenting that to them and just go, wow. And that means the world to us, you know, for sure. So, I'm not sure how different that is. I know other builders are probably trying to do the same thing, but, we're really transparent with our whole process. I mean, we have a position in our company called an experience specialist that's different from a lot of other builders. And that person, literally what they do, their job is to walk with that home buyer from the moment they sign their contract all the way to closing. And that experience specialist sends a video update every single week to those buyers going, hey, look, we're putting drywall in your house right now. Like, the next step is going to be this. And so that's a transparent home buying process the entire time, the entire length of the build. The buyer always knows what's going on. And that experience specialist is there to advocate for the buyer. And man, it's an amazing, that's where I started in the company. So I'm really passionate about that position as an experience specialist. And we just want to love people well and keep them excited about their build. And really, if we make a mistake, we're going to own it. And we'll probably tell you before you even see it. And that experience specialist is the funnel of communication between the buyer and the company. And they truly want to advocate for the buyer. And we tell them that we need you to advocate for the buyer, not necessarily us as the builder. You need to advocate for the buyer. So,
yeah. As many of you listeners already know, Juan Carlos and I are in the real estate industry. Shout out the DS team with Fathom Realty.
Yeah. What up?
but I personally have never had the pleasure to work with Shubert Mitchell yet, but I've seen many of their homes, and I can personally say that the way their houses look, I think is incredible. They come off to me that they're prepared in a very good way. Anyone that I've ever interacted with at Shubert Mitchell, they treat you well. They're so kind. They're so welcoming. Almost like a nice warm hug, if you will, if you wanted to describe it that way. So I've always had a very positive experience with Shubert Mitchell, and I'm sure Juan Carlos as well.
Yeah, actually, one of our home is a Shubert Mitchell home, and you know, we bought this home before we met Johnny. We had signed, and everything he just said is true. At least that's how I feel about it. This is not the realtor Juan talking. This is just Juan of just having a Shubert Mitchell home. And yeah, Malachi, shout out to him. Mm. He held our hand through this process. It's a big deal, right? To get a home, your first home, and to have someone there to really guide you and just not put any pressure, to inform you well, to educate you on the process, to educate you on what is going on in the process. I mean, it couldn't have been better. So that is correct. They take care of you. They treat you well. Again, that's just been my experience. And then the guest experience, is that what it was? The
experience specialist.
Oh, experience specialist. Yeah. Yep. We got those videos. We got those updates like on a weekly basis. One of my favorite things that you guys do, and it's funny because anyone can technically do it, but it's not highlighted in that manner. And that's when we get to write in our frame. What do you guys call that?
Yeah, we have a framing dedication.
The framing dedication. Uh-huh. And yeah. And I'll actually have you, because you'll say it a lot better than me, but what is that?
Oh man, it's one of my favorite things that we do. Mm-hmm. So once the house is framed and there's a roof on it and all the mechanicals and everything are in, you know, plumbing, things like that, we haven't put drywall up yet. The walls are exposed, so it's a concrete pad, it's framing up, a roof up, but we haven't put drywall or insulation or anything like that in. And so what we do, we want to throw a celebration. This is a big deal. Like, we're not just building homes, we're building homes. So we know people are going to, big things are going to happen in that house. People are going to make big life decisions, right? Babies are going to come there. Mm-hmm. There's going to be tragedy there, unfortunately, sometimes. Like, this is a big deal. This is a home that big things are going to happen in, right? So we want to celebrate that. Like, and this is the beginning of that. You had the shell of the home at this point. Mm-hmm. And so we, with the experience specialist, the buyers can invite all their family, whoever wants to come. And we have a little celebration. We give a tour of the home and point out different things that they're going to be covered up soon because drywall is going to go on. So we give a tour of the home and the different mechanicals and plumbing and different things like that. After that, we have a prayer session together. If the buyer's open to praying with us, we say, can we pray for you? So we pray over them and the house. And then we just pass out Sharpies and people can go around and they can write on the studs, right? Whether it's scripture or poetry or well wishes, whatever it may be, mm-hmm. but everyone's writing on the studs. And usually we have cookies and something to drink and stuff like that there too. And it's just a celebration of like, man, we just dedicated your home right now. This is a big step. And now we're gonna hit the ground running. We're gonna now start putting drywall and insulation and we're on to the home stretch of getting your home finished.
I like that. For me, like I mentioned earlier, you know, I'm growing my faith and I hear these things and it makes me feel good and it makes me think that, man, you know, God is putting me in the right direction. You know?
Yeah.
He's showing me signs that it is the right thing to do. And I think sharing that with buyers, showing them that power that like this is a home, you know, you're gonna build your life here, you know?
Yep.
And
it's special.
It's special. Yeah. It's absolutely. Special,
yeah, for sure.
And out of curiosity, Juan Carlos, do you remember
yes.
what you wrote?
Oh,
are you willing to share that?
So if I remember right, it was like me, my wife, her parents, that were just here. And I think my aunt, but we, that time came and we came in here again, like with these Sharpies and we wrote all over. And one of my favorite verses that I put, John 4:14, says, Jesus says, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him nice. Will never be thirsty.
Yeah.
And I intentionally put it by the water line, by the fridge, you know, to bless that water, whoever drinks from it from now till forever, you know, till the house is there.
That's but pretty cool, dude.
It's kind of silly, right? In the sense of it's right by the water line. I'm just silly.
I love that.
Yeah. That's so cool. Technically it is there. I know that, but of course, well, me and my wife know that. Well, I guess now everyone knows that, but in our property it has, and there's scripture all over through. I remember naming like, I don't have any kids yet, but in our rooms, in our guest rooms, above the frame, where we wrote the names of our kids' names.
Oh, wow.
So that it's like we dedicated that room to our future kids.
That's special.
And I remember I put, if I said, if we had a girl, it's closer to our room. And if it's a boy, it's the one in the middle.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I laugh, but yeah, their name is technically up there. But of course, if it changes, it changes. But at the time, yeah, I did that.
I like that.
Yeah, in our bedroom, in our frame. I don't remember what scripture. I took photos of it though, all of it, at least most of it. If I did, but yeah, we did.
I would love to see them if you're willing to share one of these days.
I'll have to
take a look at it.
Okay, I'll look through them. I'll look through my phone. It's probably like on my Google Photos somewhere.
Okay,
but yeah, I'll show you some. Yeah, it was cool. That was by far one of my favorite times. And what I said earlier, before Johnny had explained what that was, you know, technically, any builder can, or any whenever you're getting your home built, any of them have that, not that same process, but you can just technically sneak in and write whatever you want. But it's not really done in that manner the way that Schubert Mitchell does it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, sure, if you're building, again, any other builder in this area, you have the studs up, you can go with your family anytime and take some Sharpies with you and write in the studs and the mm-hmm. frames and stuff. But the company itself is not necessarily hosting that, if you will, or saying, yeah. Hey, you guys want to come
on? It's part of our lifeblood, yeah. man. Yeah. It really is. I'm so glad you brought that up. Thank you. It's part of our lifeblood. Yeah, yeah. It's a big deal. Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's part of like the process where you go with the clients. Right. I remember I did that with a client of mine. They bought a different new construction. And that's what we did. We just grabbed Marky's Sharpies. Sharpies to mark the studs.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we did that, right? But it wasn't engraved in the process.
Yeah,
so knowing
yeah,
that sure. it's different here, I really did like hearing that.
Yeah,
and I think that just kind of shows the process and how people can kind of expect it. And I guess a question going forward is, this is what you guys are doing now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Is there anything that you guys are doing differently, or is there anything new coming to Schubert Mitchell that you can share with us?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I don't know. As far as our processes and things we do, I don't know if that's anything new necessarily when it comes to that. We're just experiencing a lot of growth. You know what I mean? A ton of growth right now. So we have actually three markets now in Northwest Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And so that North market, that's kind of where we're at currently, right? It's Pea Ridge, Bentonville, Centerton, you know, Rogers area. And then after that, the South Market, Springdale, Taneytown, you know, all the, those areas there. And then we have an emerging market in Washington County. So we're talking, you know, Prairie Grove, Farmington, south of that Fayetteville area, mm-hmm. right? And so that's the emerging market. So it's just super exciting for us, the growth that we've experienced here. We're hiring a lot of people right now, trying to get the right people in the right spots with the right capacity so that they can help us continue this growth that we're seeing. So it's just, you know, we have in Centerton, that's where our offices are currently as far as for the North market. We're sharing it right now with other markets because we're growing so fast and we're trying to build some facilities. We're going to have a new design center for sales down in the Prairie Grove area in that Washington County market.
Nice.
So we're really excited about that. So that's something new. We'll have two sales offices, one in Centerton and then one down in that Prairie Grove Farmington area. So super excited about that.
I feel like with the growth that we're seeing, you know, eventually people are just going to have to go towards more of the outskirts of mm-hmm. more south. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, building those design centers down there, I think it makes it more accessible for people who, one, maybe they just want to live down there, or maybe to the people who just have to migrate down there, right? So having that accessibility makes it, it's a benefit for the community, I think.
I think so too, man. We're going to have, we'll have a sales team down there that's there full time. And we're just, you know, trying to help with the growth that's going on in that Fayetteville area.
Awesome.
So yeah,
that's awesome.
If I'll give another shout out. I love Shuler Mitchell's Design Center, especially the new one.
In Centerton, yeah.
The Centerton, man, mm-hmm. it's so good. I mean, you guys offer a lot of different options, you know, different price points, things like that. And for anyone who's looking to, you know, start that process and looking for a home and trying to design your home, I really think that's a good place to start. Yes, other builders also offer a similar option. But, you know, I would suggest to do all of them, you know, mm-hmm. to go to every single one of those model home, what are they called again? Design studios.
Yeah.
Check out mm-hmm. the material, check out what they have to offer, price points, things like that. You would be surprised what you could, I'll say a couple dollars more, but you'd be surprised what you can get in your home mm-hmm. Versus, you know, that one mm-hmm. builder may offer that another one may not offer.
That's right.
Yeah. And it goes just a long way. So it's, there's just so many different options out there. And I think you guys do a really good job of giving actually quite a few options. I will say that. So what does a day look like as a GM? Yeah, tell us about that. If someone's interested to join this field, what does a day look like for them?
I mean, it's a big position, right? So we're the GM is our, you know, we've got a sales team under a sales manager, a service manager. So we have a warranty team, right? Service mm-hmm. warranty. So we have a 2-year builder warranty. So we have a sales, service, and build. So I have managers that manage all of that, right? From the manager of the managers. And then they've got teams, you know, that they're working with as well. And so the day in the life is honestly, it's running the business and making sure everyone's staying on track. I'm looking for future opportunity. But honestly, it's that servant leadership of just serving the teams to make sure that I am pouring positivity and health into my managers so they can do the same thing to their teams, right? So we have one-on-ones every week to make sure they're doing good professionally, personally, spiritually, how your family doing. I want to care for people so they can care for others, right? Like I tell the sales team all the time, you have customers. Well, my customers are my management team. Like I'm going to do whatever I can to support them, to grow them and be an agent of their success, you know?
So, oh, wow. Yeah. That's awesome.
I like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Checking in with your team and making sure that they're doing okay and they're growing and needing your help. I think that's always important. And you mentioned a few names earlier. Yeah. I wanted to see if you wanted to give a shout out to anyone else on your team.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, it's tough, man. We have an awesome team. There's so many people. I'd be afraid I'd leave somebody out. You know what I mean? So I don't want to do that. I'm afraid I'd miss somebody. Sure.
I guess generally speaking, right?
The whole team. I mean, they're, like I said, come to Centerton, check us out. Our sales team is incredible. They're friendly. They're not high pressure at all. We've got two amazing sales managers there. We've got great construction managers and service managers. And it's just awesome, awesome, awesome team. I wouldn't want to leave anybody out because everyone's so incredible.
We get that. You know, now we transition over to about Northwest Arkansas area. You know, we always like to get the perspective of our guest to say, man, what does this area mean to you? Or what does it mean for you and your family? Things like that. So when you have family or friends to visit, who come visit this area for the first time, right? What's it like to them? What do you experience with that?
I love that, actually. There's so many things that we get excited about that we want to tell them, you know, the trails, right? We love the Greenway. I love going to Compton Gardens and walking all the way to Crystal Bridges. You know what I mean? My wife and Arlie and I can say her name, right? We do that. We do that all the time. We love that so much. I love showing people the Bentonville Square. So we go to Rogers and stuff a lot too, but we live in Bentonville. So Bentonville's our community, right? Mm-hmm. It's our home, and love Rogers so much too, but I love showing them the square, just really proud of what it's becoming, you know? Mm-hmm. Crystal Bridges, of course, is huge for us because, you know, Arlie's an art teacher and an artist. And so just love sharing those things with people. And of course the restaurants, you know, we're foodies. Yeah. We love food. We love to eat. We love good food. And man, how fortunate are we to even have all these, you know, James Beard nominees here in Northwest Arkansas. How stinking cool is that?
Yeah, that was cool. I saw it on Facebook. Somebody had shared it. And I clicked on it. I read it very briefly, but I thought, man, our area is having people being recognized for their achievements.
It's so cool, man.
It's a big deal when you really think about it, because I think Kenny said it well. It's when someone comes from a bigger city here, they don't expect it. Something like that. Like they don't expect.
If I remember correctly, he said that we have the same things as other cities, like bigger cities, if you will. But I think like the level that we do it at is different. I don't exactly remember.
Yeah,
he put it in such a perfect way.
Yeah, I'll have to get that quote, put it on there. Yeah,
he described it perfectly.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
But it's true. I mean, we do have some really good restaurants. I mean, what are some of your favorites, Enrique?
For me, man, I said in the previous episode that I like Taco Bell a lot, but
Taco Bell slaps, man.
No, but I guess to stay in that realm of tacos, sure. I really love going to like local food trucks too. I don't frequent them often, but when I do, I always feel like the food is very authentic. It's always, they taste good. The service, I think, is always well. I'm very biased with like mom and pop shops or locally owned businesses.
Yeah.
I always love to support the community in that way.
Yeah.
And I think they show it, their thankfulness and their gratefulness through their service, through their food.
That's right.
Yeah.
And tacos and beer, man. Have you been there in Centerton?
Tacos and beer
is good.
Man. I'm about to check it out.
Drive by the subway right there.
Yeah, it's by the gas station. Yeah, it's in a little plaza next to the gas station.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to check it out.
It's awesome, man.
Nathan Seller, I think, is right.
Yeah, it's right there. Yeah.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Johnny, how about you? What's one of your favorite, man? Your family just came into town. This is their first time, and you're like, man, I'm gonna take them here.
So tough, dude.
I know. Just
honestly, the first place that comes to my mind is Yayo's. I love Yayo's so much.
I love it.
The chef there, man, he is amazing. Like, he's such a cool guy. I've got to talk to him several times. And it's just a cool experience. It's not what, especially from where I'm from in Joplin, when you're like, okay, you're going to take me to a Mexican restaurant, you know? It's like, it's not like your typical Mexican restaurant. I mean, this is a... he's got a vision for what he's doing, you know, it's almost farm to table, authentic food. Yeah. And you can feel the love in that food. And so Yayo's is one of my favorite places. I love it so much. And so that's where we take a lot of people for the first time. And you can't throw shade at any of the table places either, though.
True. Like,
Table on Sixth is a big, we love Table on Sixth. That's our favorite brunch spot. So I could go on and on, man. I better shut up. Like, there's so many good restaurants, you know.
That's funny. Yayo's was one of those James Beard Awards semifinalists that was just announced about a week ago. So, I mean, it's a really good spot.
It blows my mind that
it's a beautiful location.
That's so cool.
He's an amazing dude, man.
Yeah.
Like, he told me this story. He comes to my table every time, and I don't know why, like, he does. I don't know that we know each other by name really, but he told me the mole that they have. Like, he went to Oaxaca and he actually learned how to make that mole. He spent months there just to learn how to make that mole. That's dedication to your trade, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why I love it so much. He's passionate about what he's doing. And that mole is some of the best mole I've ever had in my life.
Like, mole is one of my favorite Mexican dishes ever. So I'm Honduran, right? I'm Central America.
Oh,
but my fiance, Emily, she's Mexican, right? Her family's Mexican. And I didn't eat a lot of Mexican cuisine before I met her, but once we got together, and I now I frequently eat it. And mole for me is one of my favorite things ever. It's so good.
Well, we don't have to talk about it here, but I've done missions in Honduras.
No way.
In Tegucigalpa. And,
oh, that's awesome.
Spent some time there. Pupusas are one of my favorite things, man. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, so that's really cool. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
That's very cool. Yeah, I wasn't born in Honduras, right? But mm-hmm. Both my parents are from
there.
That's
awesome, man.
I consider myself, quote unquote, 100% Honduran.
Yeah.
I'm American, basically.
Yeah, dude. That's so cool, man. That's cool. Awesome. That's cool.
Enrique, what's something that, that you get to enjoy about the area the most with your family and friends when they come visit?
I just like the freedom that we have. Like, we can do literally whatever we want. You know what I mean? Like, and obviously that applies to everyone, but I'm saying here specifically in our area, like if we want to go walk a trail, we're going to go walk a trail.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to go to downtown, we're going to go to downtown.
Yeah.
If we want to just go have lunch somewhere, I feel like it's just so accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And I always enjoy that part about where we live, the accessibility. Mm-hmm. Like
if
somebody in our group doesn't want to do something specific, there's always a need
mm-hmm.
or something available for their need. Like mm-hmm. you can always cater to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what I like the most about our area. We don't have to really settle for whatever, right? I think
that's a great word to use. Yeah. We don't have to settle. I love that. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be for me. I really do like that.
Wow. I gotta get you on that interview, bro. Be my guest.
Oh yeah, just
I love it. I love it. Yeah, no. Johnny, how about you? What's something you enjoy about this area the most?
I think you nailed it, man. Yeah. We don't have to settle. And I do love all the restaurants, though, man. I do. That's my thing. So I love the restaurants. I love the diversity mm-hmm. A lot. But I think, honestly, there's no better answer than what he just said. We don't have to settle. Like, if I want to walk a trail, I can do it. If I want to go ride some bikes, I can do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We have it all here. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I want to add to this and say that growing up here, I remember, the whole, everyone, it's so funny. If you're from, the East Coast or West Coast or even up north, they just look at Arkansas as a whole, as a southern,
mm-hmm.
As a southern hospitality.
Yeah.
And it's funny because then you talk to someone from the south, they're like, you guys are out of the southern mm-hmm. part. But I feel like we still have that southern hospitality here in its own way. But what I'm referring to is that when I was younger and going to school here, man, everyone, I remember being always nice, opening that door for you, talking to you.
Mm.
It was just a normal, good human interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fast forward to, 2025, man, I still feel that way. I honestly, for how big we have grown, I really feel like it's still like that.
I do too.
You can go to the square, you can go to downtown Rogers, you can go to Fayetteville, you can go to almost everywhere and everyone's still pretty much going to have that same, that they're going to open the door for you. They're going to say hello. You can start a conversation at a bar or at a restaurant. It's not going to be weird. And again, when you're coming from these bigger cities, that just doesn't happen. And that to me has to be my most favorite about this area. I remember going, I can't believe this story popped into my head, but this is exactly what I'm talking about. I had some friends over from California here, and it was the five of us. We went to the lake and they hadn't been to the lake, but we came over, we took them to Beaver Lake, a nice, beautiful day. There was a family next to us that was riding in their jet ski. So it was like a family of like 5 or 10, just all hanging out next to us. And me, I'm like, oh, I would love to ride the jet ski just to get a ride on it. I was like, you think he'll, and I was telling Maritza, yeah, you can see what's going.
I can see it, man.
And my friend, Jonathan, he was like, dude, I was like, I don't know, maybe we should go ask him, see if he'll give us a ride on the jet ski, We went over there. We're like, hey, hey, mucho gusto, hey, ¿cómo están? And I was like, hey, man, we were wondering if we can just get a ride, just like literally even just a 5-second ride on the jet ski, just on the lake. And he's like, yeah, let's go. And he just, he switched it. We got on it and we just went on it. And I was like, dude, this is cool. Just a small story, but just an impact to be like, my friends are here from California.
Yeah.
They wanted to get on the jet ski. I did too. This family let us and my friend get on it. They took us for a ride and then we went about our business.
Yeah.
And it's like just that little thing, something absolutely. We still talk about to this day. Like, dude, remember that one time we went to the lake?
There's a generosity and a hospitality here that's like pretty awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I agree. I think that's a big highlight for our area.
Yeah. For the area, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, but I can't believe I just remember that story,
Crazy,
but yeah, cool. Good people, man. I think for the most part, like Nathan was saying, it's the continuing, no matter how big the city gets, if the heart of the community stays that way, then it doesn't matter, right? It can grow so much more, but at the end of the day, it's the community still going to be connected. So, man, amazing. Johnny, so something are doing in this podcast a tradition. And we had not mentioned this before, but it's something we started doing.
Our previous guest is asking our current guest a question.
It could be anything.
Oh, right?
Man. Okay.
So this specific person, Yesenia, she got asked the same question, but she thought it was so powerful that she wanted to ask the same thing again. Yeah. The question is, what's your why?
What's my why? That's a really good question, man. It can be very deep for people, right?
Yeah, correct.
Man, the first thing that pops in my head, if I'm being really, really honest, is to love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my mind, and all my soul, and to love my neighbor as myself. That's my why.
There we go. Mic drop. All right, everyone, have a great day. I love it so much. Yes.
Yeah, that was good. I like that answer.
Yes.
Yeah. Very good. Now it's your turn, Johnny. What's a question you'd like to ask for our next guest? And it could be literally anything, right? Yeah. It doesn't have to be business related, work related. Anything you want to ask, you ask it, and we'll ask that question to the next guest.
Yeah. I don't know who the next guest is, but yeah.
Yeah, we don't know who it is, but
yeah, that's tough, man. I don't know what to ask the next guest. It's hard to beat what's your why. I don't know if I have something right now, man.
You got to think of one.
Okay, I'm trying to think here.
Yeah, we'll give you some time. Yeah, no rush. Yeah.
Okay. I would love to know people's stories.
Okay.
And so I would ask them, what life experience has impacted you the most to make you who you are today? You know, something like that.
I like that question.
Oh, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
Yeah. Right
so there. Whoever our next guest is, there it is. Yeah.
Very cool.
Well, folks, as we're wrapping up here, this episode, we want to thank you guys for tuning in and listening to us. Johnny, we want to thank you for your time with us. You know, the conversation was great, and we just learned, the audience and us just learned more about you. And that, again, is such honor and a privilege. So thank you.
Yeah, Johnny, thank you again for your time. I say this every episode, but for me, time is so, so valuable.
Yeah.
I value time so highly.
Yep.
And the reason I say it every episode is because, I mean, you didn't have to come out here and join up for the episode, right? But you did. And I appreciate you sharing that time with us.
Yeah,
man. And I'm more than happy to share my time with you. So again, thank you so much for
this was an awesome experience, guys. Oh. Thank you for inviting me. It really was. It's a pleasure, dude.
Thank you, man. The whole idea was that we want to share those stories, but I also want it to be that the guests are always as comfortable as possible to really just engage and to just have that authenticness, that genuineness. Cause at the end of the day, we're just simply talking. Yeah, we're just sharing our stories, having fun. And this is like a passion, but just share that with our audience and with each other is like, man, I could do this every day. Mm-hmm. I can have them lined up, you know, back to back. And I would just enjoy it. I would enjoy every single conversation just as much as the next one. Yeah, so thank you for coming, folks. You know, thank you for tuning in, and we will see you all soon. Take care, everyone.